Good afternoon, Professor Peter Lynham.
Good afternoon, Johnny. It's a curious day, a mixture of rain and sun. All good?
I know, it was fine. It was super fine and pretty nice this morning, and then I just sort of was outside about an hour ago going, oh my God, what's it doing? It's raining again?
Yes, a bit of a shock. Yes. So, I hate just endlessly concentrating on one denomination, but there's been a bit of further development from the Lambeth conference that we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And this is a spectacular split in Australian Anglicanism. It's so close to home. I thought it made for an interesting story.
Yeah, run us through it, Peter Lynham.
So there's always been a lot of tension in the Anglican Church in the Australian world, because the original part of Anglicanism was the Diocese of Sydney, set up when Sydney and indeed Australia was claimed for the British Crown as a British discovery on dubious grounds in 1788. And so from the very earliest days, there was a chaplaincy placed in that, and that slowly evolved into the diocese, the Archdiocese of Sydney. So the oldest, but Anglicanism has, of course, now spread right throughout Australia, and it's come in all the different shapes and sizes that Anglicanism is capable of appearing. And the Sydney Anglicans have become distinctive, very unusual compared to almost all other forms of Anglicanism in the southern regions, in that they have become leaders in the evangelical party. And indeed, so separate from the rest of Australia that they've even started planting churches in sort of rival churches in dioceses like across in Melbourne and in Brisbane.
Okay, so so the Sydney church has become like a televangelist, crazy,
yes,
evangelical, big showy kind of church.
Yeah.
That seems weird for a
Well, it's still pretty staunchly Anglican establishment.
Mm.
Still does all the works of dressing up and poncing around as Anglicans do.
Yeah.
But the style, the theology, the belief structure is rowdily conservative, even fundamentalist,
mm-hmm,
in most cases.
Okay.
And they've actually suppressed almost everything else in Sydney, and typical Anglicanism doesn't suppress anything, you know,
mm-hmm,
they just let all the different varieties hang out. And so what has now emerged in the over the weekend is that the former Archbishop of Sydney, his name is Glenn Davies, but he's simply the stooge produced to lead the show, has announced that there is going to be a new Anglicanism in Australia, headed by himself, which is going to offer the chance for all true believers in who are in Anglican churches to escape from it and become part of a mega diocese of the Southern Cross. And they can affiliate to this. They'll have to probably leave their buildings, because legally the buildings probably are pretty safe and sound in Anglicanism's hand, the old Anglicanism's hands. And this, incidentally, includes New Zealand and Papua New Guinea as well. Now, of course, this is all hard to make any sense of, because, I mean, he resigned from his role in Sydney and was replaced, interestingly, by a Sri Lankan who's of the same conservative theology as him. So it may be that the Sydney Anglicans don't need to split away because they're maintaining their purity in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, by the look of it, there'll be a challenge to Anglicans and the rest of the subcontinent to affiliate with his diocese of the Southern Cross. And presumably, it's not many churches, I think it's 13 churches in New Zealand that have split away from New Zealand Anglicanism, will also affiliate to the same body.
So they're affiliating with a church which is even more hardline and following more classical teachings?
Yes, indeed. So this church, its fundamental presupposition is that it aligns with GAFCON, which is the Ugandan-led breakaway from Anglicanism,
mm-hmm,
which also includes, mind you, big, big groups, like most of the Nigerians. Of course, in the way of Anglican breakaways, it's hard to exactly see how this works, because in Uganda and Nigeria, it's just that the churches say, well, we're not going to go to Lambeth and meet with the Archbishop of Canterbury anymore. Mm-hmm. Because it's Anglicanism, basically, is like the British Commonwealth, a such a strange beast in which there's absolutely zero authority in the centre to have any control in the outliers. The outliers can then set up their own Commonwealth, and mm-hmm. that's effectively what's happening. And so potentially Australians being more conservative than New Zealanders, and potentially they've got this huge support from Sydney and from Tasmania, it could pull away a significant proportion of Anglicans in Australia. It could break up the church into, you know, take roughly 2/5 of the church, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's significant. And lead probably to endless, endless cases to be debated about who has the rights to what property.
Yes, just all over, this is all over essentially same-sex marriage.
It's all over same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
Of course, this leaves them with a bit of a puzzle, because in New Zealand and in most parts of Australia, women are allowed to be ordained to become clergy, but Sydney has never approved that. Mm-hmm. So what is going to be the status, and they've sort of fudged their issues on what's going to be the status of married priests. Are they going to be allowed to be in the new church? And the chances are that they'll let the ones in who've been ordained now but never ordain another one.
Yes.
That seems to be their position. And then apparently they're also going to hold a tough line that they're not going to let divorced people be clergy either, because once and never forgiven in this particular rule of the book. It could have massive effects on the world of Anglicanism, and yet the sad fact is that Anglicanism doesn't really matter anymore,
mm-hmm.
because it's faded so much, and so it's got a mighty lot of property. It's, you know, it's probably one of the largest property owners in Australia.
Do you think that there will actually be a split? Will the church go, look, we're not, you know, we can't resolve this?
What's different about this from a New Zealand, where the split turned out to be, you know, a little squeak rather than a big noise, with all of 13 parishes joining it? Here, when they've got the support of Sydney, the original Anglicanism, that its college has trained a lot of the clergy in other parts of Australia. And so it puts a lot of pressure on clergy and congregations up and down Australia to decide where they stand. Now, you might be right. It could be that, frankly, when people come to consider if they really have to leave their buildings, and if congregations may say, well, what's the point of this? What do we gain out of joining this? We lose our buildings. Do we gain anything? Mm. Not a lot. That maybe a lot of congregations will in fact pull back and be cautious about doing it. And of course, it might also have the strange effect that the way that this split in Anglicanism has developed, lots of people have sort of left the last minute. Were they going to go to Lambeth? Did they want to associate with other bishops? And so we saw the fudging that went on in Lambeth as the Archbishop tried to keep the ones that had come.
Well, was there an official global line that came out of the Anglican HQ at Lambeth? Did they say, all right, this is how it's going to be, guys?
The official line was, we can't agree on this subject, but the last time we did agree, which was in 1998, we condemned gay marriage, and now we've got massive minorities that don't agree, and so we acknowledge that we have several voices on the issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as clear as it gets.
Okay, and meanwhile, so Australia's just going, right, we're going to split.
Yep, that's right. Okay.
Interesting.
And see, this is where, well, you know, the sort of Australian bloody-minded, speak their minds, you know, exactly where they stand, very typically Australian, are trying to push the issue that it's time for a breach, that it's time that this whole thing, this muddling around the issue in the hopes that it would go away. We recognise that we're different brands of religion and we've got nothing in common. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
I wonder whether that will come to that in most places. It will in Africa. I mean, it has in Africa, effectively. But I would have thought in the West, there's just too many people with gay relations to be very comfortable about, you know, a total breach
Yeah,
like
totally.
I hope that's the case.
Yes. It doesn't, I mean, in New Zealand, it doesn't feel like the Anglican Church will really do too much about this. I don't feel like they're strong enough to be splitting their parishes.
And the Nelsonians, where their strongest location, they've probably all got washed away in the meantime. So
yes.
They've got no energy to go into a big breach, I would think.
Yeah.
But potentially, what it is saying to a place like Nelson, where they tend to follow Sydney rather than other parts of New Zealand, is saying, come on, get up and move.
Yeah.
I wonder. It's a very nice cathedral they have in the middle of the city. Doubt if they'd want to give it up.
Yeah. Hey, Peter Lynham, thank you very much for another edition of That's the Spirit. We'll check in with you next Monday.
Excellent. Very good.